Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. This is your host, Rick Stevens, and folks, remember that this is your show. Folks, if you have got a question you would like to have answered, if there is a topic you want to hear a little bit more about, feel free, send me that email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com. Give me a call, 719-500-8700, or you can go to our website, frsfinancialgroup.com. Click that contact tab. Send us that question. Send us that topic you want to know more about, because, folks, we would love to hear from you. Well, folks, this week on Money Matters, I am joined by my co-host, Dan Cashel. Dan, how are we doing today?
We are doing great because it's baseball season.
I'm excited. Oh, yes, it is.
And it's Easter. I mean, you get two for the price of one.
It is. It is a wonderful two-for-one weekend. You know, we're recording on Wednesday, opening day, what I call the true national holiday, coming up on Thursday. This is that time of year where everybody has the same record. And as a fan of the Cubs, it was the one day of the year my team was oftentimes not in last place.
Yeah. And not only that, but for Rockies fans, they set an all-time record for the most losses. So you're right. It's very, very promising this day.
Yes. Yes, it is. As a Rockies ticket holder, I will be out to their opening day next week. That is one of the few days of the year when I am out at that stadium that it's mostly purple and white with some of the black mixed in.
Without the visiting teams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dan, folks may not remember this about me because it's probably been a year since I've talked about it, but I grew up as a baseball guy, right? I grew up in the middle of Cardinal territory as a Cub fan in Southern Illinois. But I played from the time I was 6 until I was 26. Baseball is in my blood. There are a lot of things I can take baseball stories from and apply them into life. And Dan, finances is one of those places.
Yeah, and it's really interesting on today's show because we're going to take baseball analogies, baseball terms, and transform them into how you can apply it from your financial future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, one of the things, I didn't throw it into the show specifically, but for those folks out there that are baseball fans that have, you know, paid attention to the game for years, they may be familiar with the term Moneyball, right? That was a terrific movie, wonderful book written several years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
But the concepts from Moneyball actually came from the finance world.
Wow.
Because the actual software program that was written by a couple of guys who were options traders with the Chicago Options Exchange. And they said, hey, if we can use these derivatives to figure out what's going on with the company, I bet we can use derivatives to figure out how good a baseball player is, how good he should be in the future, and how that applies to the game. They wrote the program, sold all 30 copies to Billy Bean so that no other team had it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the rest, as we would say, is history.
Yeah, that was
that first opening of the 2000s decade, Oakland was the team.
And analytics and, you know, baseball uses that even to this day in some cases. You know, that first instance, that was such a remarkable thing at that time, and they actually made the movie about it, which I really enjoyed with Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff through there. So baseball and finance has a lot in common, and really that's what we're going to look at this week on Money Matters. So if you're not a baseball fan, stay tuned because you're going to learn about the game anyway.
And you're going to learn about money. Exactly. So, I mean, this is what the show's all about.
Exactly. And when we get started into this, right, we get started into that kind of looking what we're looking at. If you think about it, both from the baseball perspective, from that finance perspective, right? At this point, every team has gone through spring training. They've built the roster that they're going to start the season with, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to finish the season with that same roster.
Okay.
And all of this starts with what in the baseball world we would call the front office, right? Your general manager, your president of baseball operations, and whatever other terms they might throw out there, but the guy who's in charge of running the franchise, basically.
Exactly.
Just under the owner. And the front office, when they're looking at the baseball team, and they look at both today, right, the team we're going to take the field with this season, but they're also in charge of looking at the future, down the road. How are those guys that we drafted progressing through the minor leagues? Are there players that we look at now, and Rockies fans will actually know the last name for sure, Jackson Holliday. Matt Holliday's son, who was in spring training with the Baltimore Orioles this year. Orioles, if anybody watched Holliday in spring training, he was terrific offensively, learning a new position at second base because he's naturally a shortstop. And the Orioles said, we love what he's doing. He's going to be really good here, but he's not going to start the year on the major league roster. We're going to put him in the minor leagues. And then there's always that, okay, are you trying to manipulate the time he's at the major league level to be able to get 7 years out of him instead of six? But what they've done is they've said, we're good today, but if we get him a little more seasoning, we're going to be better in the future.
Right.
So you're looking at both that today and the future. You're looking at building around certain pieces. Jackson Holliday out in Baltimore is one of those things. If we look at the Rockies, right, our shortstop, they actually just signed to a seven-year mm-hmm. extension. You're looking at guys like Nolan Jones in the outfield, another good young ball player, probably going to get that extension looking out there. Ryan McMahon is about halfway through the extension he signed a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the front office looks at certain pieces to go, okay, we're going to build around these guys. You also see that addition and subtraction as that year goes on as well. You know, we've had the off season. We're into the season now, but free agency, that's that opportunity to add some guys that way through there is also. Those long-term plans, right? Those long-term plans for the organization oftentimes are based on what they would call their championship window. Okay, we expect to be able to compete for a championship in the next 5 to 8 years. So we're going to build everything in that 5 to 8 year window. And then we're going to use those analytics to evaluate what players make sense short term to get us to that level. And maybe some of those that make sense long term in there as well.
What's interesting about all of this, if you're kind of catching on now, is that the roster is your investments, right?
Yes, that roster is all about the investments. And the guy running that roster, that's your financial advisor. Your financial advisor is the front office
right
in here. The financial advisor is the one sitting there with you to put that overall plan together, to use the analytics, and quite frankly, they're the same kind of analytics being used both financially and in baseball these days, to develop the right kind of portfolio for what you need it to do at any given point in time. It's looking at, you know, your advisor looking at those current economic situations like a general manager would look at the current situation with the ball club, make those changes. You're also going to have that advisor, that general manager who's keeping the vision, your goals, right, at the forefront
mm-hmm.
of everything that's going on through there. And even throughout the year, when the general manager of a team is going to make some changes, they're going to maybe trade out some guys for whether that's bringing in some veterans or maybe I've got a veteran, I'm actually going to trade somewhere else, bring in a couple of minor leaguers because I think those minor leaguers are going to do well. That's what your advisor is there to do, to take a look at, and we'll get specifics in that portfolio a little bit later on, but to look at that portfolio and say, you know what, this particular fund isn't measuring up to what we need it to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to trade that out, sub in a different piece to that whole puzzle and see if we can't make this work a little bit better.
And what the interesting thing is that, you know, you've got your front office, which would be you, and the field manager would be me or the customer, right?
Exactly.
So we got to make those decisions, and it, you know, we're kind of juggling the roster and all those things, but we got to work with the front office to make all these things happen.
Absolutely. And you see that in that baseball world. Very rarely is there a roster move made where the front office doesn't have the field manager actually in the fold there somewhere.
Right.
And when those things do happen where the front office and the field manager don't talk to one another, usually one or the other, and sometimes both, get fired in that situation. So you've got to have that good communication going on through there. That field manager as a whole, if we think of it like this, they're the ones responsible for those day-to-day lineup decisions, right? Who are my starting nine? Who's my starting pitcher? Am I using more right-handers today, more left-handers today? How am I going to stack the lineup a little bit? They're the ones who make those in-game adjustments. They're also the ones who have to check in on those bumps and bruises and sore muscles to go, oh, yeah, you can't go today.
Right.
And as a guy who, you know, I was a catcher during my collegiate career, as well as after college, I understand the feelings of those bumps and bruises. Sometimes they don't feel so good.
And the knees?
Yes, the knees. I've actually had the arthroscopic surgery on the shoulder to repair the labrum, the biceps tendon, the rotator cuff.
Oh.
After I got all that fixed, about 2.5 years later, I had the Tommy John surgery done on my right elbow, which it was about 18 months before I was allowed to throw right-handed.
Oh.
So in that time frame, I taught myself to throw left-handed because that's what a baseball guy does.
Absolutely. You got to get out there.
Absolutely. Whatever it takes to be out there. But I needed to let folks know, how's the arm feel? And even after I was given the okay to throw again, how does the arm feel? Can I do this 2 days in a row?
Right.
Can I do this 3 days in a row? You know what? I'm not throwing batting practice today, guys. I'm sorry. I can't.
And maybe that investment pulled a hamstring. So you're going to have to kind of massage it a little bit and make sure that that's healed up before you get back in there.
Absolutely. By the way, I actually did that, and I was still safe stealing that base. It hurt, and I needed a runner right then, but I was still safe.
Oh, that's great.
So that field manager, right, taking care of the team, that day-to-day stuff, that is you. That is the investor. That is the person in charge of your finances. Because you're actually the one making the daily spending decisions. I don't make spending decisions for clients. I can advise them, but I have yet to have a client, Dan, give me a call and say, "Hey, I'm filling up with gas. Should I get this? Should I get this candy bar? Should I get the fountain drink?"
That'd be a lot of calls.
That'd be a lot of calls.
That would be
a lot of calls.
Yeah.
So that field manager, you, the client, you're the one making those daily decisions. You're the one managing the cash flow, paying the bills, buying the groceries, making those decisions on, are we putting the kids in this dance class or that athletic camp or whatever the other extracurricular activities might be. You are the one fully, completely, and totally immersed in what's going on in your life every day.
Right. And you're informing the front office of all of the decisions that you're making, but you are in control of it, right?
Exactly. You know, when I've sat down with folks, and usually if we're starting from square one, we're actually building it starting with the budget side of things. What I typically do with folks is I will say, save all of your receipts, and not just save them for a week. Don't just save them for a month. We're going to save 3 weeks worth of receipts. And we're really going to take a look each month where those dollars go. I can't control where those dollars get spent. I can only make recommendations. Maybe a little bit more here, perhaps a little bit less there. Hey, call these folks to see if maybe you can get a better deal on your homeowner's insurance. Talk to those folks over there because, you know, I know we want to build a deck. Well, here are a couple of different places to call that not only do good work, but also do it at a reasonable cost. Now, I don't necessarily want to say cheap, because cheap is not necessarily the way to go, especially in the construction world. But you want to do things at a cost that is cost effective, I guess, is the best way to say that, for your own pocketbook, but is also going to get the quality work being done. So we're going to save those receipts, right? We're going to save those for about a month, start to put them into categories, save them for those 2 months following to make sure we've got the right categories in there. Because not everything gets paid each month, right? Sometimes if you're like us, we actually pay for our garbage and recycling pickup quarterly. So that only gets paid once every 3 months. And if I were saving my receipts, checking out all of my transactions, and I was only doing it for 1 month, it might be the month we didn't have to pay that. Same sort of thing if you are paying insurance premiums quarterly for different things. Well, if you only looked at 1 month, that may not have been the month that you were actually paying your insurance premium. So we want to try to really take a look at all of these different pieces. Then we sit down, general manager me, field manager you, and say, okay, what's this team looking like right now? What part of this team is performing well? What part of this team do we maybe need to make some adjustments with? Is it simply something as easy as you might call it a little extra coaching, right? A few more ground balls before the game, a few more fly balls, maybe a little bit different bullpen session for those particular pitchers. Maybe we need to go back to the bullpen and focus on a particular pitch for certain pitchers. All kinds of different things that might require some sort of adjustment in there. Then we take that plan and we put it into work. Oh, you know what? It actually looks like here, on average, we're spending close to $200 a week, whether that's on, you know, picking up coffee, maybe buying lunch out every day, whatever the case may be. Here's what we need to do to make that adjustment. The general manager, me, is going to come to the field manager, you, and say, my recommendation to rein this in a little bit is to make sure you only do this with cash and only give yourself maybe $100 a week or $150 a week to make these things happen. Now, the field manager, that's you, in charge of those day-to-day spending decisions, can look at that and say, okay, we'll tighten this up a little bit. We'll see if we can't make that happen. Or you might say, you know what? I really can't make that work right now because the next 3 weeks I have A, B, C, D already scheduled. I'm supposed to be bringing or paying for or whatever in that time frame. Can we make that adjustment afterwards? Hey, you're the one making that daily decision, right? You are that field manager. I'm not going to tell you when to pull a pitcher from a game. I'm not going to tell you when to pinch hit for somebody. I'm not going to say, hey, this guy, if he makes, you know, a certain number of innings this year, gets this bonus, so make sure you don't put him in that often. The GM, I'm not doing that. I'm simply going, well, this is what the overall goals are. This is how those daily pieces fit into those goals. And as we are walking through each of these steps, I'm there to remind you that if we don't do X in the Y time frame, that Z goal is just going to get pushed out a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further. Then we may even have to reevaluate whether Z really is the goal that we want, or is that more of a, well, that was kind of the over-the-top wish. You know, I really would have loved to have seen the Cubs win the World Series in 2015. Now, as the guy on the outside looking in, that was not a team that was ready to win the World Series then. The fact that they made it to the National League Championship Series against the Mets in 2015 totally blew my mind. Had no thought whatsoever that they would end up there. So it was, if you think about the Arizona Diamondbacks last year, losing the World Series, They were an 84-win team who just barely made the playoffs as a wild card. It was not an expectation that they make the World Series. And an interview I actually heard a few days ago with their GM, he was asked about, hey, did you go out into the offseason thinking, okay, we just need to tweak this and adjust that. We'll be right back in the World Series. His response was, no, I never thought of the team that way. I thought of us as an 84-win team with a negative run differential, and that means they gave up more runs than they scored, and I tried to adjust and address those issues specifically. So having that view of your finances, are you that 105-win team that didn't make it to the World Series, or are you the 84-win team that overachieved, and we need to continue to look at and treat it like it's an 84-win team so that we can actually make this better for the future moving forward, right? Those are the decisions that the field manager and general manager absolutely have to come together. So you and your financial advisor need to be talking about, you know what, that goal over there that we set up as a goal, well, that was more like the if everything happens perfectly dream. Let's look at reality. Is the reality that I can retire at 55 if I've not put anything away at age 50? Well, that is a possibility, something that's going to take things like, you know, buying lottery tickets, which is not an investment whatsoever. And even doing that, it's no guarantee you're ever going to win. Or it's going to take a very wealthy relative dying and leaving you all of their estate. That's not exactly something we want to sit there and count on to make that dream a reality. We may have to actually sit down and say, okay, 50 years old now, we've not really put much away. 55 is not going to be that retirement age that works for us because that number is too big and we've got to start at zero to get to that big of a number way too soon. Not something that's going to work well. However, if we move that out to 65 to 70, and call that our championship window, right? That's the window in which we're looking to say, this is when I can retire. Well, there are certain things we can do that will make that happen. And yeah, we might come away with, hey, we need to average, you know, 9.5%, 10% of on a return every year. We might get a 30% year. That's an overachieving year. That is not the year that we were building for, we weren't expecting for, and we'll be glad to take it. However, everything we need to get done is actually going to have to happen back in that vision of here's that 14, 10% window that we're probably going to be operating in overall. So even when we have those unexpected big years, we can't use that as the baseline, right? We've got to continue to say that was really good, but here's where the reality ought to sink in. You know, last year as a Cub fan, we entered the season, I would have been happy with a 500 team. But as that team progressed through the actual season, what I saw was a team that should win 85 to 90 games based on how they were playing. And they end up winning, I think it was 83 games on the year. But they should have won 80, probably 88 to 91 in that time frame. And that's why their manager got fired. He was not actually working well, managing the daily cash flow, if you will, making those day-to-day lineup decisions and those in-game adjustments. He was not doing it well. So they've brought in somebody else to manage this year in Craig Counsell. Now, it's not like I can fire you from your life and I'm just going to go take over. It's not that sort of thing. But at some point in time, as that field manager, you are the one who is actually charged with putting that plan into action on a daily basis. And every decision, every filter that we run that decision through has to ask the question, does this get me closer to my goals or further away? And I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, stopping off at Starbucks, you know, running into the convenience store and grabbing a candy bar and a drink, is that getting you closer to those financial goals, or is it pushing you further away? Because no spending decision that we make is neutral. There are no neutral spending decisions. Because once the decision is made, it's only made to spend or not spend. There is no maybe spend money. Now, the neutral part of that comes in, yes, we have the dollars available to, say, buy a vehicle. Well, the neutral part of that decision is, okay, what kind of vehicle are we going to purchase? There are also still pluses and minuses through there when you're thinking about, like, the maintenance. You're thinking about what does it cost to drive, what does it cost to insure, all those parts. But from that money decision, do I spend it, do I not spend it? It's either that spending decision is going to be, yes, this is okay because it's within what I've already set as the budget. And if it's within what I've set as the budget, that's not neutral. It's in the budget, so it's moving me towards my financial goal. Or no, I'm not going to spend it because what I'm spending is not moving me to that financial goal. So that's that working interaction there with the general manager and the field manager. Well, folks, we are up against that break in today's show. When we come back, we're going to talk about the roster. So stick around. We will be right back.
Does stock market volatility have you wondering which way is up? Do the talking heads and doomsayers have you wondering if this really is the end? If you want straight answers from an advisor who isn't just trying to sell you something, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment today. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Folks, thanks for sticking with us through that break. Rick Stevens here with you on Money Matters presented by FRS Financial. Dan Cashel in the studio with me. And Dan, we're now down to the nitty-gritty.
I was going
to
say that. You took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're sharing a brain cell today, I guess.
Yeah, we are. We're on the same. I love baseball. And, you know, I love talking offensive lineup because, you know, the first top two hitters in the lineup are pretty well set the tone.
Yes. Yeah, they absolutely do. Those guys really are the table setters in there. When we think about that roster as a whole, right, we're thinking about our offense, our defense, our pitching. We're thinking about those guys in the starting lineup as well as our bench players, you know, who's going to come in, back them up. We're thinking about our starting pitching rotation. We're starting to think about those bullpen folks as well. In the finance world, those are all of our financial tools.
Exactly.
They really are. If you think about that offensive side, playing offense in your financial world, those are your investments. Whether that's a retirement investment or otherwise, you know, it might be rental houses you own. It might be individual stocks, anything that is an investment that is built basically for creating passive income. That's your offense. Your defense, those are your insurances, right? We are protecting against whatever it is. Baseball, we're protecting against runs coming across, right? We want to eliminate as many runs as possible.
Right.
And the pitching, and this one is the one that might, you know, kind of mess with people a little bit. Your pitching is actually your financial plan, right? How all of that ultimately works together.
Yes.
In there. Now, as a guy who spent most of my life as a catcher, like you, I love the offense, right? The offense is where you can sort of outshine some of those mistakes, if you will. You got guys whose job it is to get on base. You got guys whose job it is to move the runner over. You got guys whose job it is to drive in the runs, right? I heard my coaches say it. I said it as a coach. It's get him on, get him over, get him in.
Right.
Right.
That's
the concept.
Right.
Of that. And crooked numbers are better than straight numbers, right? Because your crooked numbers, that's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, keep going is better than a 1. That's your straight number.
Right.
You want those crooked numbers out there. And every offensive player on that team, I don't care if it's the number one hitter, the number nine hitter, or the five guys sitting on your bench. Every offensive player has a specific role that you have for them to play on that team.
For the team to win.
Exactly.
And that's the ultimate goal.
Exactly.
Not to play well and, you know, to have the team lose. All the hitters, everybody has to work together to win.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter if it's the guy who's hitting 220 or if it's the guy who's hitting 360. They all have a role to play inside that offense. And, you know, when we think about, you know, the job to get on base, to move a guy over, to drive a guy in, to steal bases, sometimes that's all the same guy, you know. Atlanta has one of those guys named Ronald Acuna Jr. Mm-hmm. who does all of that. Sometimes that's different players out there. Typically, and we started to talk about this earlier, that offensive lineup, if you're looking 1 through 9,
right,
and as a coach, I specifically set up my 1 through 9 for a very particular reason. Your 1 through 9, and oftentimes you'll see this happen similar ways. Typically, hitters 1 and 2, they're the guys who are setting that table, right? They're the ones getting out there, setting the table for the run producers. When I was growing up, your 3, 4, and 5 hitters were the quote-unquote best hitters in the lineup. If you look at a major league roster, how it's constructed these days, oftentimes that's more 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
But it's still, you've grouped all your best guys right there together.
Right. And just taking an analogy from an investment standpoint and just knowing you, Gold would not be one of your hitters at the first or second position, would they?
No. Precious Metals are not the guys hitting 1 and 2. Precious Metals also not the guys hitting 3, 4, 5.
Right.
They're somewhere in that 6 through 9 side of that.
Cryptocurrency, stuff like that. You know?
Exactly.
Those are the guys that are, you know, they got to get in the game somehow, but we don't know really where they fit in.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You know those. So you got the 1 and 2. They're your run producers. 3 and 4. They're the folks that hit the ball hard. They might strike out a little bit. They might hit a home run. They may drive in multiple ones, or they might just draw a walk and end up on base, and now you've got a couple more guys on. And, yeah, those 6 through 9 guys, they have very specific skills they contribute to the offense. It might be because they're fast, so they're going to have some speed on the bases. 6 through 9, you may have one of those guys who's a good contact guy, doesn't strike out much, so you know he's going to put the ball in play. It could be that, okay, this guy's not really great on offense, but defensively, he needs to be out there every single day, so we're going to keep him in the lineup and maybe hit him, 7th, 8th, or 9th, because we don't want him up in a position to possibly leave the bases loaded.
Right.
I actually heard on my way in this morning, they were discussing the Detroit Tigers and former Cub Javi Baez out there, and one of the commentators had made the suggestion that Javi Baez needs to hit 7th or 8th in that lineup because that's where he can do the most damage and the least damage.
Right.
Most damage meaning when he hits it a long way. Least damage, he only hits it about 1 out of every 10 times he's up at the plate.
Exactly.
So,
but we need him defensively.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they need him defensively.
So I'm interested, just from an investment standpoint, what would be your 8 or 9?
So my 8 or 9, those are going to be guys that are either, we're not looking for big growth potential out of.
Okay.
So that could be, you know, you've got a mutual fund that's got really dividend paying companies in. They're slow, they're steady. The market on averages 11.5-12% a year. These guys might average 5, maybe 6, but they're steady. Or it could be some of those bond funds. Could be some of those alternative strategies, like some things that are called covered calls.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that their only job is to produce some sort of an income in there. Those are the kind of guys that, okay, you're not here because you're going to drive in 100.
Right.
But you're here because we still need you as part of the lineup.
Right. And from a defensive standpoint, they're not going to lose you very much.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. We're playing the risk game.
Right.
With those, and we're reducing that. Your 1 and 2 hitters, right? Those are your steady growth investments. Those are like your large cap growth companies. Your 3 through 5, those are the more aggressive pieces. You know, sometimes you get that 30% home run. Sometimes you get a negative 20% strikeout. Rarely do you get the walk out of any of those guys, but hey, sometimes that free pass kind of happens. That might be a place where you think about, okay, I'm going to add this really aggressive component of that cryptocurrency in there, because in the last few weeks, we've seen everything from a 10% down to a 10% plus in the same week with that. It's big, big risk, volatile sort of a thing. Hey, a 10% up, that's a home run. That 10% down in a week, that's a strikeout.
But right from a game standpoint, you know, you're never going to take your 8 or 9 and move them to the 1 or 2, right? So they're always good. You got to keep your lineup the same. That's diversify, right? So
exactly.
That's keeping it all the same, so you don't lose or win.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. You're not going to take all 9 best defenders and put them on the field at the same time to start the game. You might put them there to end the game, and we're going to talk about that on the financial plan side in a little bit, but that's because we're trying to lock it down and close it up right at the end.
Right.
It's not, hey, we're going to start out in the first inning with all of our best defenders, and they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat.
Exactly.
That's not what we're looking at for. When we flip it out, though, to that defensive side of things, there are some players there. And I don't necessarily want to mention any particular names, Kyle Schwarber, but there are some guys out there on defense because they do a good enough job in a small enough area. Sometimes that's first base, sometimes that's third base, oftentimes that's left field. Just kind of throwing that out there. Not to say anything poor, because my kids love Chuck Nasty, right? Huge Charlie Blackmon fans, but there's a reason Charlie's in right field and not center field anymore.
He can't run.
He cannot cover that ground out there. So they had to move him into the smallest part of the field. And oh, by the way, I actually heard Charlie say this. He loves right field because he figures it saves him 2 to 3 miles a year just running from the home dugout on the first base side to right instead of all the way out to center.
2 or 3 miles? Oh,
saves
my goodness.
2 or 3 miles a year.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So there are guys that we put in a small area, right, because that's what they can do a good enough job at. But there are those others that play defense very well in a larger space, right? The shortstop, the second baseman, the center fielder. And when we're thinking about the defensive side of that lineup, that's where our insurance comes in. Insurance actually defends us against things like a loss of income or from having to utilize all of our assets to pay for some sort of a property loss in there. And your different types of insurance, again, they're for different things. We don't have health insurance because we think we're going to be healthy forever. We have health insurance because we go, you know, at some point in time, I'm probably not going to be healthy. I'm going to go need to see a doctor about something, whether that's acute, it's a one-time thing, or it's a chronic, it's a lifetime thing. And I don't want to have to spend all of the money every single time. I will take those monthly premiums, pay them out, get some benefits over time. So health insurance is one of those defenses. Life insurance is another one. Life insurance is actually that big coverage defense out there, because I can tell you this. I've done some studies, Dan. I've done some studies. Since the founding of our country, 1776, America has a 100% mortality rate.
They do?
Yes. Yes.
Wow,
Every last one of us dies.
I feel sorry for everybody.
That's one of those things that life insurance. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yep.
I can't tell you exactly when.
Right.
But it's going to happen.
So prepare yourself.
Exactly. And that life insurance is there to basically to take care of that loss of income from that individual. It's there to go, oh my goodness, we're going to take some stress out of the family because, you know, we're 5 years into a 30-year mortgage and mom just, you know, got hit by a bus. Well, we're going to take the stress of that mortgage off the table with this lump sum from the insurance. Okay, mortgage is now paid off. That's one less worry somebody may have in life.
Right. Is there strategies that that you advise people to use when it comes to the cost of life insurance and the kinds of insurance they should get into?
I am a big fan of the term life insurance, and I don't have a problem with some people might call it stacking term policies, because there are certain policies we might need at certain times.
Right.
So in my case, I've got, you know, probably somewhere in the vicinity of about 15 to 16 more years of working before I'm ready to retire. So I bought a 30-year policy on myself 17 years ago.
Ooh.
So that will actually take me out for the family-wise through retirement. A couple years ago, I bought an additional 10-year policy over the top of that. Because when I bought my 30-year policy, I only had three kids. Mm-hmm. We've doubled that amount.
Okay.
We're six now.
Okay.
So I've needed to add a little bit more coverage in there. Part of my extra little stacked coverage in that 10-year window helps my business partners, if I get hit by a bus, to pay my wife mm-hmm. for the practice that they'll buy, to pay
wow.
for my part of the practice.
Excellent.
So a couple of different ways to do that, because if I got hit by that bus, not only does my wife count on my income, my partners count
Absolutely.
On my income.
Absolutely.
And need that to be taken care of. So there are some strategies in there. I am definitely not a fan of the whole life piece of things. I told one client not that long ago, he said, you know, I finally figured this out. I said, what's that? He said, when they call it a whole life policy, they really mean you're going to pay for your whole life. I said, well, that's kind of how it came. Yes,
yeah.
that really is what that word
wow.
means. There is no time when that whole life policy isn't getting paid for.
Exactly.
So I'm not usually a big fan of that whole life or cash value. Now, there are certain instances where they might make sense. But again, that's a tool further down in the toolbox. Oftentimes, we think about that as maybe a retirement strategy. If we make too much money and can't put into our own IRAs, and we've already maxed out what we can put in a 401k or a 403b, and we've got to find another vehicle,
right?
That would be one. Do that. Yes.
So you could cash out at a certain age.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, because we're not holding it specifically for the death benefit. We're holding it to have
just
that
in case.
Cash value, so
yeah.
that we can pull out
right.
the money.
Right.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So life insurance is out there. Your long-term and short-term disabilities.
Important. Very important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, that short-term disability, usually that's 3 months or less. Long-term usually kicks in after that 90 days and
yeah.
takes you out for 1 year, 3 years, or to age 65, however
right.
long you set that one up. Again, another defense that you're playing in the event that I get hit by the bus, but I'm still alive
right.
in that process.
And a lot of people, you know, when they look at short-term disability or long-term disability and they're working, a lot of companies offer these things, and they've got to really take a hard look at, you know, do I want to pay the $8 it's going to take to get the short-term disability or whatever it's going to cost for the long-term disability? You're going to thank your lucky stars when something happens that you actually have this
yes.
instead of just ignoring it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anytime I've ever had to take care of an insurance claim for someone, whether it was a disability claim, a life insurance claim, even on the long-term care side, I've never had anybody say, boy, I just wish we didn't have this. It's way too much coming
yeah.
in right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody.
And it's something coming in. That's the most important thing.
Exactly.
So if you're relying on your spouse and, you know, just an example, they get, let's say, a brain tumor. And they have to go on long-term disability, that income that they normally would have coming in is now substituted by the long-term disability payment on a monthly basis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you get that kind of assistance through there. Long-term care, right? That's another
oh, yeah.
one of those pieces, because long-term care is insanely
Absolutely.
expensive.
And this is, we're talking, you know, retirement homes and things
yes.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's and right now, if you go to so Genworth does this study of what does it cost for long-term care. So if you just go to the Google machine and throw in
yeah.
Genworth cost of care, you'll see the study. Right now in Colorado
Don't
Springs,
say $10,000 a month.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes,
oh,
it
wow.
is. It's between $9,000 and $10,000
wow.
a month, depending on where you're at in the city.
Oh my goodness.
Not
just to,
a low cost.
Just to get, you know, just to live, essentially.
Yes.
You can't fend for yourself and you need some help.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, precisely.
Wow.
And even the in-home care is approaching that $4,000 to $5,000 a month.
Oh my
just
goodness.
Being taken care of in your own home.
Wow.
So
yeah, you
very,
need this.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very, very good defense
yes.
to have, because if you don't have it, that's coming out of your assets.
Absolutely.
Somewhere.
Yep.
And then, you know, finally we get to that retirement side of life, and that health insurance becomes your Medicare. It becomes that Medicare supplement.
Right.
All those other components around there to really keep the costs down. Because in retirement, what often happens is the cost of living that, you know, maybe I got my house paid off and I'm running 30% of mm-hmm. my overall budget. I'm taking that away. Well, that health care can actually sneak back in to eat up another 7%
of
wow. that.
Yeah.
And that is usually, when you get to retirement, your biggest cost at that point in time. So playing the defense, mm-hmm. having that insurance in place really helps out. And we finish, though, with pitchers. And Dan, I will say this, as a guy who wore what they used to call the tools of ignorance, right? That's what everybody always used to call the catcher's gear. I always had to tell folks the catcher's actually the smartest guy out there on the field.
He's protected.
Well, number one, he's protected. Number two, he's the only guy facing the right direction.
Right.
Everybody else has their back to something.
Right.
And if it wasn't for me, the pitcher wouldn't know what to throw.
Exactly.
He would have no idea. I had to tell him. But with that aside, right, your pitchers, if you're thinking about starting pitching, the goal is to get them through that first half or maybe two-thirds of your game. Your relievers, they're going to finish off that game, hopefully preserving a victory in there. And that really is the financial plan, right? Your pitchers are your financial plan. That first half to two-thirds of your working life, right, ages 20 to 50, it's not going to need to be terribly in-depth, because those really are that big picture thing. Hey, we just need to put it away, and we need it to grow. Put it away, need it to grow.
Throw some
put
strikes.
It away, need it to go. Exactly.
Throw some strikes. Get in there. Get them out.
One of my favorite things that I saw this spring hanging up in the Washington Nationals bullpen
uh-huh.
was a sign that said, "I don't care how fast you throw ball four."
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
A strike.
Right.
That's all it takes. Right? Now, from age 50 to the end, this is our relief in there.
And preserve the victory.
Exactly.
To retirement.
We're looking at that end of working. We're going to be taking that more in-depth. Okay, let's narrow this down. Is it still 20 years? Are we 15? Are we 10? When we get to there, what is it going to take to make it to that finish line? What is the closer I'm going to bring in to make sure this victory happens, that I can get to that particular spot in my retirement? We're going to be pretty aggressive in those 20 to 50 and maybe even 55 working years. In those last five, we're going to start playing a little bit more defense. We're going to be around the plate a little more. We're going to be a little bit more careful that we're not just throwing a nice fastball thigh high down the middle of the plate.
Or swinging for the fences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I've got the guys in there who are those contact hitters. No, they're not going to hit me a home run, but they're also not going to strike out.
Right.
I'm going to bring those guys up. We're going to take a look at that defense. Is now the time to make sure that, you know, maybe I'm still going to need a little life insurance into retirement because I still have a house payment to make
right.
for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in those retirement years.
Do we also start our long-term care thought process at that point?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Usually, folks, I will start walking through that process about age 50 to 55,
okay.
where we need to start thinking about it. You're not typically going to need a 50-year-old having that long-term care stuff,
right.
that insurance. But it's a good time to start thinking about it, because really it's that age 60-ish when we want to kind of really start to go, okay, how long, you know, what's the longevity in my family? What's the likelihood of me needing long-term mm-hmm. care? And between 60 and 70 is when we actually nail down, okay, let's get that policy started.
Okay.
So that's kind of that window.
What if you had people that were starting their long-term care at age 20? Is that a waste of money?
Oftentimes it can be.
Okay.
Simply because you're not likely to need that for about 60 years.
Right.
But if you were just putting whatever that premium is away month over month for 60 years,
mm-hmm.
you're actually going to have a bigger pile of money than if you'd have been paying into the premium
and
that
then
whole time.
What about the company's longevity? I mean, what happens
right.
if you're putting in all this money? What happens if they go out of business?
So the government actually has a program that they back up the insurance company. So if you have one of those policies, that company ceases to exist, and that company wasn't purchased by another insurance company, the state will actually honor all of that for you.
Okay,
so you don't have
good.
To necessarily worry about, oh my goodness, my policy went away.
Right.
The state actually does have a backup plan in there for you.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we get to retirement, right? We've shut the door. We've won the title. Now, that financial plan makes sure we don't outlive the assets.
Aha.
Because that's the number one fear retirees have is outliving their money. Because they think once we made it to that finish line, we're done. No, now we're still working on how this is going to happen year over year over year.
Because you're going to still need more, and we're living longer.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We are. You know, one of those things that I saw the other day was that, and this is one of those crazy pieces, women are more likely to use long-term care than men. And at the base, you're going, wow, that's weird. Why? Because women outlive men.
Yeah.
In there.
Exactly.
And not just a little bit. Like the longevity studies will say men usually 78 to 81, women 85 to 87.
Mm. Wow.
So we're talking there's a likelihood that it could be 10 years longer than you know, if you're the same age when you're married. So that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You want to find an older woman.
Yes.
And that way you can die at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great idea. That's a very good idea.
So that might not be exactly the retirement strategy, but what can I say? My wife's a year older than I am. So one of those pieces then as we kind of go through and wrap it all up, right? Your general manager and your manager got to be working together. They've got to be in lockstep. That general manager overseeing all of the different big picture operational sort of things. That field manager, that's the day-to-day. That's the one putting together the, okay, here's the cash flow in, here's the cash flow out, here's why the budget matters. You know, do I make that spending decision to say, yes, I'm spending this money, or no, I'm not?
Right.
The crazy part about that is, It's just a simple question. It's a simple question to ask, but it's a question everybody hates to ask. When I'm trying to make a spending decision, the first question should always be, is it in the budget?
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing we want to go is no.
Yeah.
And be disappointed.
Right.
So we just go, I don't know. I don't care. I'm just going
to
spend it.
It's your job to know that. That's what, you know, do you have customers that say it's your job?
Sometimes,
keep track of that.
Sometimes I actually have those folks that say, well, can you tell me if it's in the budget? And I say, well, based on the last time we sat down, it was this much, and here was the budget we went over. And I don't see a category that says save for fill
Starbucks
in the blank.
Coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, there might be one that says, you know, $20 discretionary every week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by all the means.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to spend your $20 discretionary every week on Starbucks, go do it. Yeah. I don't care. It is in the
but
budget.
It's in
at
the
that
budget.
Point.
You're knowing where it goes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the key, again, to all that is the discipline. One of those things that I always loved when my coaches did and hated when they didn't was being able to walk into the dugout every day knowing where I was hitting in the batting order. Always loved knowing where I was going to be that day.
So you could prepare mentally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. What I hated doing was I come out one game and I'm hitting number one. And then the next game I'm hitting number two. And the next game I'm hitting six. And the next game I'm hitting three. Those are all different mindsets to get into.
Yeah.
But having that discipline of saying, this is my 1 through 9. So everybody knows what they're doing, what their role is, and can prepare properly. That's the concept of the budget, that consistent month after month after month of knowing exactly what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, how it's going to work, and knowing that it actually takes the guesswork out of yes and no.
Right.
In terms of, can I afford it?
Not only that, but you also know what each part of the lineup is basically trending towards, so you're not always kind of juggling it and making a bad decision with one investment that may not do what you want it to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as the general manager for folks, that's where my job is to look at it and say, hey, our 3, 4, and 5 hitters that are supposed to be the ones knocking it out of the park, they're all striking out right now.
Yeah.
I need to go make a trade and bring in another 3, 4, 5 hitter.
Right.
And get those guys out, you know, take those particular funds out of the portfolio, bring these funds in. Okay, now we can be running back the way that the team needs to be running again.
I love this entire show concept.
It's
an exciting time of year.
All I need to know about life, I learned in the game baseball.
Exactly. And there's no crying in baseball, by the way.
No, there is no crying.
Yeah.
And as a guy who may have worn it a time or two, I will tell you that there are times where that fastball to the ribs is well-deserved. Well-deserved.
Okay. Wow.
I've worn that more than once, and I will tell you,
it's a badge of honor.
I deserved it every time.
Yeah. Man. Wow.
So that's this week's show.
Okay.
And right there, baseball, finances, they're the same thing, right? We've got our general manager taking a look at that big picture, making sure that all of those different pieces, they are working in there together in the right ways. And if there's a part of that team, part of that lineup isn't working, we get rid of that. We bring in another part as a replacement. Hopefully that gets everything back on track with where it needs to be. That field manager, you are the one in charge of those daily spending decisions. You're the one in charge of, well, really that may not have actually been the best goal to have set out there. Let's reset that goal out there. And really making sure that everything is working together the way it needs to be. And then when we're looking at those players, yep, we've got that offensive lineup of our investments, making sure they're all doing what they need to do. We've got that defense out there so that, hey, if we did put a crooked number on the board, we're not going to give up that same crooked number on the other side of it. And having that financial plan as your pitching staff, right? Those first few years, we are looking for those big strikeout numbers, that big whiff rate. We're trying to keep everything in place. And then as we get to the end, we're going to be a little bit more choosy. We're going to make a few more less risky decisions in that time frame and ultimately close that door on our retirement.
Excellent.
Well, folks, that is all the time we have for this edition of This Week in Baseball. No, this was Money Matters presented by FRS Financial this week. Folks, we will be back again next week. We will be continuing to talk about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.